بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It's a coincidence. Today, Maulana Yusuf Mulla Sahab was speaking about some aspects of social etiquette. And then, in today's Taraweeh, the first surah was also about social etiquette. لا تتناجوا بالإثم والعدوان وتناجوا بالبر والتقوى إنما النجوى من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا. Many a times, because of the weakness of knowledge and understanding, then we disregard social etiquette. Someone asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, ghusl on a Friday, is it compulsory? He says no. But I will tell you the history of the ghusl on a Friday. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that initially the masjids that was built, the roof was very low, thatched roof. There were no windows and hardly any doors. And people worked very hard. They worked with their hands, the sweat of the brow. Their clothes were very coarse and rugged. It was sheepskin that many people had worn. Now you can imagine when they had come on a Jummah, the sweat and the air that will go around. So it will be as though there's some sheep and get on the water. So that was that phase when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam insisted that people have some ghusl and then come to the masjid. The reason is obvious, that if they are going to come in that state, Juma, normally other masjids are closed, everybody comes to the Jama Masjid, right? So it's going to be packed up. Then the roof of the masjid is very low. There's hardly any ventilation. People's clothing are coarse, sheepskin. So if they're going to perspire, then the smell is going to go around, it's going to create a disturbance. So the lesson that we learn, when we are socializing, interacting, then we don't inconvenience anybody. Initially it was like compulsory to have a bath. And the reason why it was compulsory is that it created an inconvenience to others. You come, and amongst the etiquette it used to be that you put on your best ether. So nobody is inconvenienced, you're performing the namaz properly and they're moving. So this aspect of social etiquette, muashara, in Urdu they say rehan sehan, Arabic they say muashara, in English they say social etiquette. So important it is to understand what will cause hurt and pain to others and then to abstain. Strangely what happens is that when we get into deen, then we hold on to one thing and the other things are forgotten. Someone will get into namaz, so the other things are forgotten. If he gets into dealings and he's good in his dealings, then namaz is forgotten. So to strike a balance, that your namaz, everything is done correctly, and you're socializing also correctly. Now that's a complete person. Otherwise it's an incomplete job. You did something and you left something. Some person came in, his hair was disheveled, clothes wasn't right. So maybe some corrected him. Doesn't he have something to correct his hair at least? Now it doesn't mean that you come into piety, then you must forget about your body hygiene. about the smell that is coming out from your body. Now, sometimes you miss the point. You got so deep into zikr, etc., and all these things are forgotten. So, Islam is a complete way. It's not just a partial thing. It's a complete way. And we can only say that we have entered into Islam completely if we have gone into it completely. Otherwise, one leg is in Islam and one leg is out of Islam. The surah that was read today, تَنَاجَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَتَنَاجَوْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah Pak stops us from talking in secret. The hadith illustrates it that if there are two people, there are three people, then two people mustn't sit aside and talk something in secret, leaving out the third person. Because the third person can feel that either these people are conspiring against me, or he may feel that they don't treat me as an equal. So they've excluded me conveniently out of the mashwara, and they are speaking of their own. So he feels hurt. So you know, that small little things also Islam has kept in mind, by don't hurt this person. That if you all three, now you all more 10, 12 people and then two people sit aside, now this person won't feel it. Because, say, well, if they are speaking in secret and they don't wish me to know, then all these people also have been excluded from that mashwara of theirs. So he won't feel hurt. But if just three people, then this third person is going to feel hurt. See the consideration Islam has made. So much of consideration. You're coming to a invitation. لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إنا. Again, there's a social etiquette. So you don't go so early to the host's place to inconvenience him. Now the host has got two responsibilities. One responsibility to see that everybody is fed well. He'll have mehman, all different classes, right? He'll have them. So he's arranging for all his mehman, all his guests. Now if you pull in early, so now he's thinking to himself, now I must make these people comfortable. I can't say, man, go in now. The dawat is 9 o'clock. People came in at 7 o'clock. So it's difficult for the host to tell, by pull out, come back at 9 o'clock. But the fact that you have come to his home, he finds it difficult to just leave you idle, leave you unattended. So he say, all right, sit down, bring some tea, something to make you feel comfortable. He has to give you his time. But the problem is that he has to arrange for all the guests. 200 people are going to come for the dawat just now. And he's not prepared. غَيْرَ نَازِرِينَ إِنَا. So don't wait for its preparation. You come right on at the time. It's 9 o'clock, then come about 5 to 9. So this person doesn't feel uncomfortable, you haven't inconvenienced him. But see how much of consideration Islam has made. Sometimes certain things, they revolve around urf. Like the other day I spoke about urf and usage, right? I gave you that bottles to example, right? So there are certain things that revolve around urf. So we need to know the urf of a certain place, the usage of a certain place. Right. We can't just see a custom practiced in some part of the world and then adopt it. No. In some place of the world, it is practiced, they don't mind. And in other places, they do mind. They take exception to it. So we need to see what is the practice in that area, in that place, before we practice it. Right? In some places in India, as you go, in the villages, right in the deep depth of the villages, you will find that they burp and they burp loudly. Very loudly they'll burp. The whole masjid will echo. Right? Literally the whole masjid will echo. But nobody minds. Nobody's finding it uncomfortable. Now, for example, you went to India and you saw that and you started the same thing this side. Now the reasoning is off. Those that went into Jamaat, right into the depths of the villages, you'll see these things, right? But it doesn't mean it happened there in India, you must do it here. No. It happened in some village, in that village it's acceptable. It's a usage that is acceptable, in vogue. They don't mind, the whole village they don't mind. Right? But it doesn't mean that you must practice it as well. Now this is misunderstanding. We didn't understand that thing, we didn't relate to the situation correctly. In Makkah, Mukarramah, in those days they used to have the muallims. Now you get, but you don't get it like prominent as today, as those days, right? So the muallim's job was, he'll go and receive the haji right from the harbour. Right from the harbour or right from the airport, he will receive him, he will house him, he'll make all his arrangements. The last arrangements he will make, he will take him, he'll guide him, everything he will do, right? So according to the status of the person, he will show him respect, he will receive him, he will extend the hospitality, everything. So it's the Nawab, a very prominent person, like a government now, like a prime minister that is coming in. So the Muallim had to show a higher level of respect. So he took him to his private quarter, to his home, gave him an invitation, him and his family, etc. So they came in, obviously around the day, you know, around say 9-10 o'clock, nice and hot. So now, as he received them, so the Nawab had his additional clothes. You see, the Nawab has to dress up like a Nawab, to put on his jubba, kubba, look like a Nawab. So as he came in now, he pulled out all his additional clothes. Now the word for clothes in Urdu is jama. The good word in Urdu and Persian for clothing is jama, right? Now this muallim doesn't know Urdu, it's not his language. But he heard the word jama, some words like jama, pajama and all, he heard this type of words. So when he heard this type of words, he doesn't know really what it means, but the mirror he saw, that the Nawab pulled out his additional clothes. So he says to the Nawab is pulled out all his clothes, you know, and he's relaxed. Now he's saying to the Nawab's wife, if you wish, you can also pull out your pajama. Now he doesn't know the usage. He doesn't know how it's applied. You just seen something and how they're practicing it, you don't know how it applies, but you want to go and imitate. You must know how it's worked, how it's practiced. Obviously, the Nawab was very upset until someone had to go and explain the Nawab, this person doesn't know Urdu and he misused that word. Right? So, it may seem like a small insignificant usage, practice, application, all these things may seem to be small. But really, the Sharia recognizes all these things. The Sharia gives a lot of importance, a lot of respect to it. How insignificant it may seem to be. I'm showing you today, by the grace of Allah, the social etiquette. Like I said, Mawlana Yusuf Mullah spoke about etiquette today. Then coincidence, namaz also was all social etiquette. So my mind is working in that line, all social etiquette. What hurts the next person, what disturbs the next person? Because I spoke about smells. So the person that is considerate, then he will be very, very careful. Now he's interacting with his family. So he'll be very, 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 very careful. Now I'm interacting with my family. It doesn't mean now she's immune to smells. So he'll be very careful. If he's eaten something, garlic or samosa, he won't allow all that ginger and adrak to come out in her presence. You take one dakar, the whole thing is coming out. Now she's a human being, obviously. She feels also like how you feel. She got emotions like you've got emotions. If she had to take out all the ginger and all that adrak, everything into your face, how you will feel? Some consideration, some respect. Really, sometimes I feel man is very unjust. Very unjust. He's very, very inconsiderate towards his wife. Right? You're doing anything and everything, like everything is free inside that room of yours. You have a feeling, she has feelings. You want your respect to be safeguarded, protected, she also wants the same thing. Now someone is smoking. You're smoking and you're going and slipped. Now, when you got that relationship, you're going to be intimate, obviously. Aren't you going to be intimate? You're going to be intimate. Right? And in that intimacy, all the smell is coming out to her, on her. How does she feel? Imagine when she's intimate with you, and all that smell is coming out to you. Now, generally, as a rule, women, they can't be outspoken, they can't just say things. They want to respect the husband, whatever it is. But now all the stench is coming out onto her face. How she feels? Imagine if the same thing had happened to you. Will you appreciate it? If her face or her mouth is stinking, you will say, you know, you go and brush your teeth and come. Right? But if she has to say your mouth is stinking, you know, how will you feel? I was asking one student, smoking, you know, this is just about to get married. I said, but think about it. I'm not saying it's haram. But think about it. Now you're going to get married, you're going to be intimate. Right? When you're going to be intimate, then your mouths are going to be together. When your mouths are going to be together and you are smoking and all the smell is coming onto her mouth, how is she going to feel if she says your mouth is stinking, you know? How will you feel? So he said, no, it'll be heartbreaking. That's what he told me. It'll be heartbreaking. He's not married, but he said it'll be heartbreaking. And then I asked him, you know what she'll be saying? She'll be saying, in place of that H, just put an F there. That's what she'll say. That's what she'll say. You'll say heartbreaking and she'll say with an F. You have to, these things are practical things, but it's not something that, it's practical things, we disregard it, we get into zikr and all that so heavily, that people's feelings, their emotions, consideration, everything is lost. We don't know how to interact, how to socialize, how to act in a respectful way. Sometimes, you know, on a plane, I feel very ashamed sometimes. Now you see the person in the kurta and all that, and he's so inconsiderate in the aisles, in the wuzu, or in the namaz. You have to be very considerate, very, very considerate. Especially when you've got non-Muslims around with you. You have to be very, very considerate. But they are non-Muslims, they don't know anything about Islam. And we take up the whole place, I'm reading my namaz, making a long rakat there. Or you're going to the toilet, and the toilet, it's a common toilet, and you're taking 20 minutes there with your miswak. Is that the right thing? Everybody requires that. Everybody uses that. When everybody uses, everybody's got a right. Everybody paid for it. Now the way we carry on, we only Muslims, and we can do jannat, so we can just bulldoze and trample anybody, anyhow. No, it's not Islam. This is not what Nabi Sant taught us. But by the same token, we don't want to shout these people, we want to call them on the side and explain them what it is all about. What Islam is all about, what does it mean? Social etiquette, social respect, what does it mean? Islam is so, so considerate that before all these bylaws came, municipal bylaws, Islam spoke about if one person's home is here, the second person's home is here, can he build a second story and a third story? Ulama in that zamana said, no, you can't do it because he's invading this person's privacy. He's on the second floor, third floor, he's looking at this person's home, in his yard. His privacy is being invaded. His children or his daughters is maybe there around the yard. And now he's on the second story. What's going to happen to this person's privacy? Although that masala is being discussed and all that, but I'm showing you they were so considerate in that respect as well, that that person's privacy you need to respect. You see what our Islam teaches us. How much of pain it has taken to teach us all these things here. You're visiting a sick, then how do you conduct yourself when you're visiting a sick? Is it a straightforward thing, or is there some etiquette in respect to that as well? In respect to that also there is some respect. There is some etiquette. فَلْيُخَفِّفْ عَنْهُ. The hadith says, then you lighten the situation for the sick person. Speak about things that are light, not too feet, not too serious, not too deep. Like you are eating, right? Someone is eating. When he's eating, then don't talk very deep, masail. Don't talk very deep. Because eating is, you eat, you come and eat at the dastarkhan. You want to be light, you want to be cheerful, you want to rejoice, you feel nice. Now at that time, someone is talking some very deep masala. Right? Will you get the taste of the food? Because your mind is going to be somewhere else now. Your mind is the masala. Now you think to yourself, I came half an hour to come and eat here, just to cheer up a little bit. And this person came with his masalas. Now how do you feel? And then if you say the person come late on, he takes an exception. But he doesn't know how you feel. You had a full day you had. Now you just came to your family and your folks, and you want to rejoice, you want to cheer up. At that time now, let there be light talk. See what Islam is saying? Let there be nice light talk, a little bit of cheer, joke, humorous. So they feeling nice, you are feeling nice. Right? Now you are prepared for the next session. Everything is cleared now. Now the next session, when you're getting to the next session, your mind is well balanced and you can work properly. But now, around that break time, there too you're talking about very, very serious things. Now, when you get into the second session, will your mind be relaxed? See the amount of consideration. I used to see our Buzhugar Nadeem. Meetsab, they're very relaxed. They're joking, they're cheering. Right. Now, I used to wonder why they're doing that. At that time, we were still studying. Hey, Buzhrug Anadi is so big, Buzhrug, and he's joking. That was our stupidity, obviously. We could understand what they were doing. But now when we are advanced in age, coming advanced a little bit, so now we appreciate what they were doing. They did that deliberately. To cheer off, make us feel nice, relaxed. So when you feel relaxed, you'll eat better, you'll eat more well. And perhaps that will help in the digestion as well. You are relaxed, you are peaceful, you are calm, you are feeling nice. It will help in the digestion as well. See the consideration they had. Really, we don't look at these salient qualities of Islam. You look at it from one dimension, the dimension that appeals to us, everything else is forgotten. Everything else is forgotten. Now, in this age and time, even the perfumes that we use is not right. Most of the perfumes that people are using is synthetic. Many people, they come and they want to give their hands to shake hands. And I'm reluctant to shake the hands many a times. Now they got that synthetic perfume that gives me a headache. 10 minutes I must suffer with that headache now. I can't tell the person by that your perfume is not right. And it gives me a headache. Because once you shake hands, right, if you apply that thing remains with you. Now you must take another attar, put it on there and camouflage that so that you don't get affected. So that consideration, consideration to your brother, to your friend, to people. Sometimes you're using attar, right? And it's a very heavy attar. You're going home with a very heavy attar, you're going home. Your wife is not comfortable. I know some of my friends, they tell that when you come home like this, then the wife says, hey, I think of that, that mayat was there. Now, it's consideration, respect for that other person. She's living with you. She must be comfortable by it. She must be comfortable. Now, you say, no, Nabi Sallam used attar. How could you speak against it? By, don't misunderstand these things. Understand it in perspective, you will go a longer way. You didn't understand the whole thing, so you're confusing the whole thing. What she's saying is genuine, that they use some heavy attar they use at the time of someone's janaza. Now you're putting the same attar and you're going through the house. Now you say, no, Nabi Sam put this attar here, why are you objecting to it? Now, she can't tolerate it because she's already identified with the janaza and with that attar. Janaza and that attar. Now you put on the same attar. Now she's going to think, where this mayat came to me? You see, this small. They look very small, but they are so important in Islam. They are so important in Islam. Yeah, the person doesn't afford it. He can't afford it, and he wore some torn clothes, patched clothes. That's a different thing. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the means. That's a different thing. But where you got the means and you're wearing all dirty clothes and smelly clothes and all these things, it's not the right thing. فَلَا تَتَنَاجُوا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Right, you eat now, you've eaten the meals. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. When you have eaten now, then get up and move. Many a times, I like to take mihman at home. Many people come, but the fear in my heart is, hey, they'll sit down there after meals, and they want to talk. Half an hour of minds will be gone. I need to go and work. But now, this bad habit stops me from practicing a sunnat. A sunnat is to entertain the guest. Right? And if the guest, if he was a little bit understanding, it'll be so light and so easy. Bring him home, eat, he's eaten and he's moved. I can take the next guest. I can do it every day. I can afford to do it every day, alhamdulillah. But now, because of this person's habits, now they're sitting there and sitting and talking. Now obviously it is rude of me to have by eat now, move and go. You don't expect me to do that. The host can't say that. But look at the Quran Sharif, it's graphic description. فَانْتَشِرُ فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُ. Move it up now. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ. You did that, you've eaten, and then you sat down and you start talking and communicating. It hurt Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was your host. So he felt ashamed of telling you about these things here. But Abu Bakr doesn't feel ashamed. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. See etiquette. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. By the grace of Allah, we're talking about etiquette. And we think that etiquette, social etiquette, is not part of Islam. That's a great error. Very, very great error. That we think that social etiquette is not part of Islam. It's part of Islam. A great, important part, aspect of Islam. One Englishman, he came to India and they served him with biryani. But properly, with etiquette, they just on that eating of that biryani, he became Muslim. He says, the standard of this people's eating and etiquette is so great, what must be the standard of the religion? Really, they learned etiquette from us. So now we are looking up at them, and we forgot hamari ghar ki baat. You know, what was belonging to us, we forgot. They went and adopted it. Mufti Muhammad Shafi, he complains, he says, whoever adopts the sunnah and the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he'll be respected. Even if a kafir does it, he'll be respected. And you leave that sunnah, then you'll be disrespected. So the kafir, it will help him in this life that he adopted that sunnah, so people are respecting him. Like you go to these chain stores, right? And you return any article, they will refund you. Right? They will refund you. Now that's an Islamic etiquette. Man aqala, أَقَالَهُ اللَّهُ أَثَرَاتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You refund the thing or you return the thing, Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins on the day of Qiyamah. So they learned it from Islam and we forgot that thing. So no, I can't. I will charge you 20% service charge. Then I'll refund the thing. So they introduced it in their business, Allah Ta'ala gave them that respect. We removed it from our business, so we became disrespected. That's the practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You bring it into your life, into your business, into your system, you will be honored. But you remove it, then you will be dishonored. Though you will get to Jannah, but in this world you will get that disrespect. Why you remove that sunnah, that way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُ. Now you're visiting a sick person, right? Again, that's what's the etiquette there. فَلْيُخَفِّفْ عَنْهُ. Make it light. Right? Then, don't be too long. فُوَاقَ نَاقَةٍ. Just a short while. You know, when you are milking an animal, it's called فُوَاقَ نَاقَةٍ. That you milk, right? Then you have to release it. That udder, when you are pressing it, then for that, after you have pressed the thing, then you have to open your hands for the milk to come down, then you can press it for the second time. So that interval from the one press and the second press is called فُوَاقَ نَاقَةٍ. So let it be short and brief. So now, that sick person, you don't know what state he is in. You come there, next story is now. He wants to do something. He's feeling painful, feeling miserable, or he wants to release some gas, and you are there. Now, isn't it difficult for him? It's difficult for him now. He wants a little bit of, he wants to be mentally relaxed. Unless you are that person that he can do everything in your presence. It's a different thing. It's a man's wife or his child or something. He can do anything. He can talk, he can stretch, he can do whatever he feels like. But he can't treat everybody the same way. The stranger, he can't treat him in the same way as he would treat his wife, his child and all that. He'll feel awkward, obviously. You know, one person had to go for a heart surgery. So he tells him, Mulana, you don't know what it is to be in the confines in your home. To be at home, what it is. Ask him, Shasha, but you're so happy to be back at home. When they give you a good treatment in the hospital, he says, no, he says, you know, in the hospital, you can't even break wind. Because you think, you know, that the nurse is there, and so-and-so is there, and so-and-so is there. You feel so miserable. So you understand that you can't break wind in front of people. You can't do that. Now, there's a room for that, toilet, etc. You do all that. Now, people don't feel comfortable. Now some village they're doing it in India, they're doing it. You can't use that as a rule. I don't say they don't do it, some places they do it. But you can't use that as the rule now, that they did it there now, that becomes a wahi now, that everybody can do it. No. They did one place, people don't mind it there. But that doesn't become a general rule now, that everybody can do it, anywhere you can do it, you can't. That respect for the people's feelings. People don't like these things. Nauseous, they feel nauseous. Someone wants to throw up, right? But how do you conduct yourself? Are these important things? Now these are part, it's part of our deen. And we think, no, it's an additional thing. I'm doing my zikr, I'm doing my tilawah, that's enough. It's other things I don't have to be considerate about. The first stuff, we hear about the first stuff, right? Showing you said this, social etiquette, right? First stuff. So everybody tries to come for the first stuff. Alright. Now one person didn't get placed, so somehow he forced himself to the first stuff. Now when he forced himself, now what happened? Now see what happened. The person on the right and the person on the left is getting inconvenienced. He's cramping the space. And he feels happy in his heart, hey, see, I got my place in the first serve. I secured my place in the first serve. I got the sawab. I just made it. But what about the inconvenience that you're causing to the person that's to your right and to your left? Now he did all that. Now he knows it's going to be a little bit of a push in the sajda. It's going to be a little bit of a problem in the sajda, so he'll push himself quickly into the sajda. Now all this tamasha we're seeing. Now I'm asking that, is this the service that you're doing to Allah Ta'ala? Allah doesn't he know all this, what's going on? You're trying to cheat your brother in front of Allah Ta'ala. Is that the right thing? And then even the worst thing after that is after namaz, you know that someone is going to pull up his face, so before he can pull up his face, you will do this. Now all these things, I watch all these things, what's going on. You know, many a time when someone squeezes himself, I want to go to the second serve. Hey, let them enjoy the namaz, let me go to the back serve. You know, but then I think it's going to be a whole commotion now. I'm going to go back, someone will ask, why you went to the back? It's going to be a whole commotion. So you don't have to make sabr and carry on. But that's not what we learned in Islam. These are all etiquettes. As the community grows, then you have to understand these things, that what inconveniences people, what harasses them, what breaks their concentration, what makes them feel comfortable, what makes them feel relaxed. See, a small thing like here, if you leave it somewhere, people don't feel comfortable. Islam says that take that hair, that nail, and go and bury that thing. Why? Just because it's unsightly. That same hair, if it's in its place, it looks so smart. Eh? Black, nice, beautiful, thick hair. It looks so nice if it's on its place. But if it's cut off now, does it look nice? That nail, it looks so nice, it brings about the beauty, the splendor to the person. But if it's cut off now, does it look beautiful? No, it's not, you know, go and bury it straight away. Don't leave it hanging around. Now, ye kiski baat hai? I'm asking, who's teaching? Our Nabi was teaching. But we left it out. So no. Ye to sab choti baat hai. Main thing we got it. It's all small things. So we're going to visit the sikh, fal yukhaffi, fuwaqa naqati. I think it was Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh. And someone came to visit him while he was sick. So that person is not leaving. He's sitting there half an hour, people are coming and going, this person is not leaving. Now he can't tell anybody, leave now. Obviously, it's his home, he's like the host. So for him to ask to leave, it's difficult. So, even a Syrian distant, you know, but some people, they can make it heavy, you know. So he asked, you know, must I lock the door so they don't make it heavy? So Ibn Sirin said, yeah, from outside, go knock it. You see, our deen, everything it kept in mind, everything. We think that it didn't teach you. See, Ibn Sirin is a tabi who saw the Sahaba Ikram. He is a contemporary of Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh. So he chote mote aadmi nahi hai, samjha. He's not a small person. He saw Sahaba Ikram. So he is giving you the teaching by fuwaqa naqadin, just brief and move. Meet the person, you met for a short while, and then you run. He is relaxed, you relax. But if it's a person, like I say, you have got that informality with him. You can talk, you can stretch your hand, yawn, do everything. That's a different person. That person, if he sits longer, it's, you don't mind. It's your brother, your sister, or perhaps your wife or someone. They don't mind. You are behaving like that in their presence, so they don't mind that. So that's an exception. In every rule, you get some exception. Then, what to say whilst you are there? So you say things that will make him feel easy. Now, I was seeing one cancer patient. So someone else pulled in around the same time. So that person tells the cancer patient, you know what? Hey, it's a serious thing. He's shaking his head like this. Hey, he's serious, man. Serious. Hey, you know that other chacha somewhere in Durban, he had that and he died, you know? Now, is that the thing to say in the presence of that person? Zara, thodi si akal, ghar ki akal bhi nahi hai, bhai. Is that the thing to be said at that moment? This person is suffering all alone in isolation. Right, he's suffering in pain, right? And then you putting Malakul Maut on to his head. Now he's looking right, he's looking death, left death, he's hearing about death. Is that the thing to say? So for most of us, for most of our people, when you go to visit the sick or something, the better thing is we first learn how to do it. We go with some elders that are understanding and experienced, see how they go about doing it. Gradually we get an understanding, but straight away we say, no, it's a sunnah, I must go and do it. But how to practice the sunnah? Do you know how to practice the sunnah? One person lost his father. Father is about 90 years of age, so mother is about 85. Right? So now, he wants to practice the sunnah to go and visit the sick. So he went first, someone lost his son. So they went first there now, the whole Jamaat, the whole Masjid Jamaat went there to go and visit the person when the child passed away. Right? MashaAllah. So you have to offer words of condolence. Child passed away. Allah Pak, ni'mal badal nasi, for my Allah will give you a better replacement. So now I learnt him now. Now this person lost his father, 90 years of age. Mother was about 85. So I learnt it. So when anybody passes away, you must go and say these words. So an old lady is there, 85 years of age. Her son's about 70 years of age. So Allah will give you a better replacement. Really, you know, we make a mockery of all these things here. We didn't learn these things here, so we make it a mockery. And then someone wants to know, is that what your Islam teaches you? But we didn't learn it. How is it practiced? How is it practiced? How must it be practiced? How do you make it light for people? We didn't learn these things. Nor are we interested in seeing how our elders do it. When they say, keep and hold on to your elders, hold on to your elders. Now they can't give everything in one go, in one sitting. An occasion comes and you see alright, how they practice here. There's a person, how did he speak to him and how did he speak to that person? They may be of the same age. They may be of the same age, both people. But you relate with this person in a different way and you relate to that person in a different way. I mean, the hadith teaches us that you respect people according to the status and the position. Both are of same age. It's your father this time, right? He's 80 years old and there's a stranger 80 years of age. Do you treat both identical? No. It's your father, you would respect him differently. It's a stranger, you would respect him differently. So you see, when we're visiting a sick now, these things, keep in mind. Then, today we read that 28th Sipara, the second surah, or the third surah, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَا تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. This is a long subject. I started off with social etiquette, but it's a long subject. I didn't realize it will be so long. There's a lot of things to be discussed on this. Let's curtail this, let's shorten this thing here. But then I feel prompted to speak about this because people don't consider this as part of their faith. They don't count it as part of the iman. They don't count it as part of your religion. Right? Whereas it's an important, very important part of our deen. Very, very important part of our deen. Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah seated there with Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh. And this that I spoke about, Mawlana Habibur Rahman, Raisul Ahrar, right? Freedom fighter, right? So they are sitting there, and one person pulled in, and he was a supporter of one party, one political party. They used to call it the League. So he's coming. But outwardly, he didn't seem to be very religious. But he's a leader of that League party, you see. So the Sheikh Ahmad Ali and Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, when they saw this leader of this party, they stood out of respect for this person here. Now he's affluent, he's influential. And this Mawlana Habibur Rahman, Raisul Ahrar, he didn't stand up out of respect. He didn't stand up. Right. Anyway, this person met and he left. So this Mawlana Habibur Rahman is saying, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, and his Shaykh Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh, that I think I did the wrong thing, you know. That I seen my elders standing up out of respect for this person here, and I didn't get out, and I didn't stand up for respect, out of respect for them. I should have just followed my elders, that they stood up in respect for that person, you know. I should have also, but that hadith came in my mind, that whoever shows respect to a wealthy person on account of his wealth, I'm sorry, he just mentioned these words, whoever shows respect to a wealthy person, then zahaba sulusu dinihi, who shows respect to a wealthy person, then he has demolished one third of his deen. One third of his deen is gone. Why he showed respect to a wealthy person. Sit right in the back. Huh? See, when you find, don't find a place, that's also an adab. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he came to a gathering, right? Yajlisu haysu yantahi. He will sit where the majlis ended. Then he won't come and jump the shoulders and come right in the front. Unless now it's a person who has to sit in the front, like the Imam Sahib, or someone that has to support the Imam Sahib. That's a different thing. He has to support the Imam Sahib, so he has to take the position. But otherwise, a normal person, he must sit where the gathering ends. He mustn't push himself to the front. See, again, social etiquette. Like I say, you can't get everything in one sitting. And this thing had to come, and through the barakat of that person, alhamdulillah, everybody benefited. That, you see, when you're coming in, you sit where that majlis ends. Just sit there. Then don't push yourself right forward. So anyway, so he suggests to Hazrat Shaykh that, you know, I'm supposed to be sitting, I'm supposed to be standing up, but I came across this hadith that you stand up for a wealthy person, that one third of your deen you have demolished. So when he said this, the Shaykh Hamad said, that hadith also is correct, but there's another hadith which says, Akrimu Karima Kulli Qawm. Respect the leader of every community. Any people, but he's a leader. He's considered, he's counted to be a leader. So you will show respect to him. Right? Just for example, right? If Mr. Juma Mubarak came here now, right? Right? You think all of us will be sitting here? Won't we stand up out of respect for him? Will you sit up or not? We'll be sitting up, we'll stand up for him. Won't we stand up? We'll stand up for him. For whatever reason, someone will say, no, I fear implications, whatever they will say, but they will stand up, right? So the hadith says, Akrimu Karima Kulli Qawm. The leader of every community, you must respect him. So Mawlana Raipuri Rahman says, Hazrat, now this is a contradiction. One hadith is saying that you respect a wealthy person, then you have demolished one third of your deen. And the hadith is saying that you respect the leader of every community. How do you reconcile? So the Shaykh says that as far as ikram is concerned, ikram is a different thing, and tawazu and humility is a different thing. Two different things. The word that has been used is taza'za, that refers to humility. And the word that has been used is ikram. So ikram is a different thing, and humility is a different thing altogether. Ikram refers to external respect, you know, outwardly protocol respect. Someone came in, say, how are you, thank you, that's external. And tazasu and humility refers to the condition of the heart. So you, when you saw that wealthy person, you became overawed. In our language, we'll say, he became overawed. And because of his wealth, such a big person came. And you were overawed because of his wealth. And you showed respect. Now you demolished one third of your deen. So here we showed him respect, just an external respect. Just for his position, he's a leader of a certain political party. So we showed him respect in that regards. Right? That's a different thing altogether. But that humility of the heart, not because of that humility in the heart, that we became overawed on account of his wealth, that we showed him respect, no. That was a different thing altogether. But now see, this both thing has to be reconciled. This has to be reconciled with that. When people haven't acquired all these aspects of the deen, then everybody will be shooting his own things he'll be shooting. Shooting in the dark, but he's getting anywhere or not getting anywhere, because, you know, it comes to the hadith. But now, by you saw the hadith, its application, you saw other hadiths that comes, you know, with respect to the same subject, or you just seen one hadith in isolation, you haven't seen it, and then you start making a noise about it. You see social etiquette, huh? Talking of social etiquette. How do we conduct ourselves amongst people? How do we conduct ourselves privately in our homes? What Maurice was explaining this morning. That's also social etiquette. Now, in the Sahaba Kiram time, the homes were designed differently. And now the homes are designed differently. Now the homes are designed in such a way that you have one common room, right? Like you have a lounge is a common room, isn't it? A kitchen is a common place, isn't it? So, generally in a lounge and a common room or a kitchen, you don't need to ask for permission. You don't need. That's the law. Why it's a common room? All your family will be there. Your daughter will be there, your wife will be there, your father may be there. So it's a common place to meet, so you don't have to ask for permission. Unless you feel that, no, my wife has got some guests. Right, or my sister got some guests, or my mother has got some guests. Right? Then, if you're coming into the common room, then to ask for permission. Don't just come in like that. Then too, you mustn't just come in, because she's got some guests. Right? When she's got some guests, they'll be a little bit free. They'll pull off their scarves, or they pull off the niqab and all from their face. Now, if you just walk in, that woman will lose respect for you. Say, this person got no respect. You just walked in, you just barged in through. So if you got that slight inkling that she must have got some of her guests, you know, so you showed respect. Now, what will you do? You made Assalamu Alaikum loudly. So if there are guests there, then they will say, no, there are some guests here. So don't come from this entrance, they come from the other entrance. So the guests also will respect you, and you won't feel embarrassed. Yeah, you will feel embarrassed, and they will feel, this man has got no consideration, no respect. Both ways are not going to work for you. Then you get a private room. It's your own private room. Or in your own private room, you can go in without permission. Alright, it's your father's room, for example. It's your father's home, your father's room, your mother's room. Right? Now, there can be two situations. One is, if the door is closed, even if it is not locked and fastened, then too, you don't just go to get into the room. But you can see that the door is closed, then just get in. So when Sahabi asked why, the answer that was given to him, she may be undressing at that time. It's your mother, it's your sister, She hasn't locked the room, but she must be undressing, right? Now you open the room, haven't you invaded her privacy? You don't do that. You see, this social etiquette, small things, social etiquettes. How much Islam has emphasized? How much is it? All right. Now you get a situation where the door is fully opened. It's fully open in our context. Now you can walk in, because if it's fully open, then they say that you are invited. You can come in. It's not a problem. I'm not doing anything concealed from you. So you can come in and go in at your leisure. Right. You see, the different context. See, one is a common room, one is a private room, one is the door is closed, one is the door is open. See, how the application goes. So if you keep all these things in mind, then, this whole world becomes like a jannat. Really, this world becomes a jannat. He knows he's got his place, I know I got my place, they know they got their place. Everybody feels relaxed in their places. Nobody feels out of place, nobody feels uncomfortable. Now you're coming to the entrance, you're coming to your own home. Coming to your own home, then you don't say, I am at the door. They ask, who's there? You don't say, I. You identify yourself. How they know you, say, they know Mona Ruid, like Molana. Molana is here. Or I say, Molana is here. So they know who's Molana. Or they know you as Abba or something. So you say, Abba is around. Right? Or if they don't know you, then give your full name. Or the name that they recognize you, they identify you with. Umar radiallahu anhu, he's coming in. So he says, Umar, Ibn al-Khattab. Umar Ibn al-Khattab. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And they give they identify themselves completely. Now they identify themselves completely, so the person knows. Otherwise now he's wondering, hey, who is this? He says, I am here now. Who is that I? Who is this person? That person doesn't know. And you haven't identified yourself completely. But now you identified yourself properly. He doesn't feel awkward, he doesn't feel uncomfortable. He gave his name full, so they know who's coming in. Right? The same will apply on a telephone, right? You say your name. But just the additional thing on a telephone is, now you find out the time, which is a suitable time to talk to that person. But I need to talk to you for 5 minutes. Is this the right time? Or ask someone that is in that home or the workplace, but I need to talk to so and so. Is this the right time to talk to him? Or which is the suitable time to talk to him? I need to talk to him for about 5-6 minutes. So then they tell you, alright, speak at this time. So he knows that, alright, I must expect this person to phone at this time. Right? So then he'll respect you, because you know you're working with respect. You're asking, you are following procedure, you're asking. So he will take your phone and he'll take your phone with respect. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare. Mulana Zino, make dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكر الغافلون اللهم صل على محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأحوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ساكن المساكين. ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم تقبلنا للدين ولجهد الدين ولإلاء كلمة الدين حتى يأتي اليقين. O most merciful Allah, O most kind Allah, O most loving Allah, O our beloved Allah, O Kareem Allah, Ya Allah, out of your infinite bounty and mercy, out of your infinite bounty and mercy, your rahmat and your love, Ya Allah, you forgive each and every one of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each and every sin of ours, the sins that you have committed in the night, the sins that you have committed in the day, the sins you have committed openly, the sins you have committed secretly, the sins you have committed knowingly, the sins you have committed unknowingly. Ya Allah, each and every sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, each and every sin of ours, Ya Allah, out of your mercy, in this beloved month of yours, the month of Ramadan, in the last 10 days, Ya Allah, in this blessed mahol and environment, Ya Allah, you accept, Ya Allah, and forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive each and every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from further sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from further sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever advises, Ya Allah, Mufti Sahib, Hazrat Mufti Sahib has given us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make it part of our life, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever good He has given us, Ya Allah, grant it to us, Ya Allah. And whatever He has told us that is not good for us, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, remove it from our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our lives with good qualities, Ya Allah, and remove all evil qualities, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever tamanna, hope and desire Mufti Sahib has for us, Ya Allah, you fulfill it for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us those qualities that He hopes that we have, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this world, Ya Allah, is inviting us to all evil and all wrong, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant Mufti Sahib good health, Ya Allah, and long life, Ya Allah. The more longer, Ya Allah, the more benefit we can benefit from him, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant us the ability, Ya Allah, to accept and to take in and give istiqamat in ikhlas in everything that Mufti Sahib says, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us for deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept our families for your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make our wives like our families, like the families of Sahaba, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make our children like the children of Sahaba, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the environment outside is not good, Ya Allah, especially for our children, Ya Allah. The challenge is very high and very great, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect our families, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect the Muslims throughout the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you safeguard us from all types of evil, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the internet, Ya Allah, the social media, Ya Allah, the drugs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all these type of things, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect our families, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the Muslims that are suffering around the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you ease their suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you ease their suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those widows, Ya Allah, those orphan children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you ease their suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, console them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep them happy. Ya Allah, you protect them, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, those people that are causing harm, Ya Allah, to the Muslims, Ya Allah, those people that are there to harm the Muslims, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if Hidayat is not written for them, Ya Allah, you destroy them. Like how you have destroyed Ad and Samud, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you accept all those people that are doing the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, be it in the madaris, be it in the makatib, Ya Allah, be it in the jamaat work, in the khanqah,
kaz, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in every field, in every facet, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, where the work is for your deen, Ya Allah. With sincerity, Ya Allah, you accept each and every person that's involved in it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us ikhlas and sincerity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us strength, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are facing hardships and difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove those hardships and difficulties, Ya Allah, from our path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you grant us noor in our work, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us noor in our amal, Ya Allah. In all our actions, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you open up your doors of mercy and rahmat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever permissible desires we have, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you fulfill them for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whoever asks us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever permissible desires, and Ya Allah, you feel is good for them, Ya Allah. Then Ya Allah, you grant it to them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept all our duas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever duas we made in this month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept each and every one of our duas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you accept all of us, Ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alaina ya mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu 'ala sayyidina wa mawlana muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillah.